I really can't play.
But baby, there's drafts online.
I've got to go away.
But baby, there's drafts online.
This format has been
the queue's hoping you'll
so
dump in.
Very nice.
I'll pick your cards. This pack looks
my
nice.
My credit bill's getting higher.
Hey, we wheeled this fly.
My rent was due about 2 weeks ago.
Hey, baby, you're harsh in my flow.
But really, I'd better leave.
Nobody
it.
Ever says quit.
Maybe just half a draft more.
I open a mythic dude score.
We could watch the tube.
But baby, there's drafts online.
Say, what's in this cube?
Yeah, baby, there's drafts online.
I wish I knew how.
I'm taking a time
to
walk
draft
now.
Good store.
I'll take this Abby. It transforms.
I ought to say no, no, no.
Mind
drafts.
If I take this pack rat?
I really should be working instead.
What's the sense in drafting rats?
I really can't play.
But baby, there's drafts online.
It's so good.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the holiday special of Magic the Amateur Age.
Yay! You can tell it's a holiday special because we're wearing hats.
Hats equal holiday special.
That's right. If nothing says holiday special, hats
like a hat.
Don't. My phrasing was off.
You also match your hat to your...
Yes, I did.
So
my
did
hat
I.
to my dress. Look
we
at
are
that.
Festive.
Very festive. You are Santa.
Yes.
I am an elf. Not a cool elf,
an arbor
like
elf?
Lord of the Rings elves. No, I'm a dork elf. Like, let's face it, I'm
a
North
Keebler
Pole
elf.
Yep, I'm just like, hey, guys, I live in the North Pole and I make gifts.
What gifts would you make if you were an elf?
Oh, man, I would make, oh, that's a good question.
Would you be a woodworking elf, perhaps?
Yeah, I would enjoy that.
Yeah, those are like, you really need to know a skill.
I feel like I could be a cookie elf.
Megan, I swear to God, no phrase you've ever said better describes you than that one right there. I could be a cookie elf.
I could be a cookie elf.
On today's episode, we are going to celebrate by inviting some of our very best friends from the Minneapolis-St. Paul area, which is where we are based, to join us on our show.
That's right. We are going to be talking Holiday Cube with none other than Judge April, who plays so much cube.
She is amazing
she
at it.
She owns an amazing cube, but she also is an online cube connoisseur.
Yep.
She loves it. She plays so much of it.
If you've played her in cube online, chances are you've lost.
Yep. Because she's very good.
But she's going to tell you all her secrets for drafting cube, vintage cube, the right way, coming up in the show.
Yeah. Then we're also going to have Vorthos Mike.
Yes.
Who is going to tell us all about different Easter eggs in Magic.
Yeah. It's just a fun little episode, a fun little segment about just finding the extra special things in Magic cards that you might not have known have been there the whole time you've been looking at them.
You are also going to hear a special Christmas greeting from none other than our favorite dragon looking for love, Nicol Bolas.
Nicol Bolas. He called into the show. We're really thankful to his busy schedule.
Exactly. He really does. And you know, we just want him to be happy.
Yeah, we do.
We're going to get an update on how that search is going for him.
Plus, we've got some holiday magic carols for you.
It would not be a holiday special unless we made you listen to us rewrite magic carols.
Yep.
Rewrite carols so they are magic carols.
And we're making you listen.
That's right.
If you try and turn the podcast off at those
this
points,
moment, it's not going to
work.
It won't
turn off.
It's not going to work.
Nope.
An especially big holiday thank you to everyone who supports us on Patreon. It means so much to us. It helps us keep the show going. Patreon.com/MTAcast for as little as a dollar an episode. That's just $4 a month.
Yeah, it's a good deal.
You can help us make this show happen and be part of the Less Than 1% Club.
Yeah, and you can get in before the end of December, meaning you started the Less Than 1% Club in 2016.
Yeah, that's right.
Which is kind of cool. And it'll be neat for us to be able to say, look, this is how we ended the year, and we ended it on a real bang.
That's right. Not to mention, if you join this month, you will be entered in a drawing for our sweet GP Denver playmat.
Yeah.
As well as you will be in the larger pool of Patreon members for our card giveaway for the end of December.
Here, ready to
That's
go
right.
out to whoever wins. So,
Creekwood
Liege. I forgot about that. That's pretty sweet.
Creekwood Liege.
And we have to say thank you, of course, to our official sponsors, CardKingdom.com.
Nothing better to give people for the holidays than cards or card supplies.
Yeah.
And CardKingdom.com is the best place to get them. CardKingdom.com/MTAcast. /MTAcast. You can get boosters. You can get singles. You can get sleeves. You can get binders.
They even sent us a Christmas present.
They sent us tokens. Look at these sweet tokens.
I want to open this.
Oh, I did open it. Okay. I already looked at them.
It's like a mini Christmas. I looked at them.
There are angels in here.
Cool.
There are demons in here.
Cool.
Oh, man. That's scary.
Megan is now afraid of her token, which was the dragon.
Dragons that are sweet. Skeletons. There are elementals that are also skeletons. I'm sensing a
skelementals.
Skelementals. Fairies. Goblin. Look at this gentleman goblin.
He's got a top
hat. A very gentleman goblin.
That's cute.
So yeah, hop on over there and pick up whatever you might need for an upcoming tournament or for the especially loved ones in your life.
Yeah.
We all know that the people you love the most, you get magic.
Yep, that's true.
That's true.
Get your priorities straight. Only be friends with magic players. Come on. We're going to start things off on the show with a carol because what better way to ring in our holiday episode than a lovely holiday song, Chandra, the angry pyromancer.
Chandra, the angry pyromancer, had a messed up home plane, but we never knew it because of shiny artifacts. When we first went to Kaladesh, everyone was like, sweet vehicles. But it turns out the consulate is also bent on destroying gremlins. And they're in league with Tezzeret. And oh yeah, they killed Chandra's dad. Now her mom, Pia, is a revolutionary welding badass. Then one sunny inventor's fair day, Chandra planes walked back. Kaladesh, with your messed up government, give Chandra her mom back. Oh, Chandra, the angry pyromancer, there are some dark forces at work. And with the help of the gate watch, maybe you can save Kaladesh.
We're here talking Holiday Cube with Judge April King. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me back.
Yes, April's been on the show before to talk Cube specifically.
I think so. I think I also talked, I did like
one of the
sets. I forget which set it was.
Oh, yeah. You were a sit-in judge.
Yeah.
When Judge Rob abandoned us.
I know.
For 1 month. What a jerk. Yeah. I know. But you're here to talk about the amazing cube that's on Magic Online right now.
It's true, vintage cube.
The vintage cube. And you are a cube master, so I hear.
I mean, I'm not going to say that my limited rating was better than Johnny Finkel's, but I mean, it was.
But it was.
It was.
But it was.
For a while.
But it
like,
was.
Like 3 hours.
Well, that's,
it was better.
That is something to brag good. About.
That's three more hours than my limited rating has been better, so.
So approximately how many cube drafts have you won this cube season?
I think I've got like 5 3-0s and then something like 20 2-1s and like a handful of 1-2s and like 1-0-3.
Oh, wow.
So I think I've got like a 70 to 75% win rate, so.
That's nice. Above the curve,
It
April.
Is. I think only in Cube can you get it, though. Like, Cube League specifically, because you get a lot of people who are like, I want to try out this Cube thing. And then somebody who's played like 100 Cubes, just like myself, just comes along and just crushes them. It's so enjoyable to crush dreams.
So we've invited April on the show to teach us all her ways of cube. You've got some tips for people if they want to play the vintage cube, cards to stay away from, pack one, pick ones that are your personal favorite. So everybody out there, you're gonna...
Hold on. They're not just personal favorites. They're actually correct.
Okay.
The correct order that you should take these cards in.
All right.
Judge April is not here to dabble.
I'm gonna get so much hate mail on my pack one, pick one picks.
Well,
endless.
I mean, how much can people argue with you? Your record is insane.
Do you know what?
I think it's, for somebody who cubes a lot, I don't think it's unreasonable.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I wouldn't be surprised if like LSV has a similar win rate.
If you disagree with Judge April.
Not that I'm saying I'm as good as LSV, but I mean, I am.
Yeah. If you disagree with Judge April, if you lodge a complaint, you also have to send us your cube rating.
Yes.
You have to send us your numerical in a screenshot version. Mm-hmm. We need a screenshot version.
No lying.
Of your cube rating. And then we will evaluate whether you're qualified to disagree with her or not.
So before we get started, Megan, let's crack open this bottle of fake champagne.
That's right.
And pour it out to celebrate some cube talk.
We're drinking Martinelli's gold medal sparkling apple cranberry juice.
Happy holidays!
Woo!
You know, when I was invited on the show, I was told to be real champagne. And yeah, then I get here and I've been deceived.
You know what? Just...
I've been led astray.
If you reimagine what you know champagne to be, mm-hmm. this will still be really far off.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
This will still not
it's
be
close. Really fake champagne.
Is it really fake? Yeah. Does it have bubbles in it?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. It's sparkling.
I'm sold.
Yeah. Okay. We wouldn't dare give you non-sparkling beverage.
That would just be apple juice. We've got a good champagne tonight. The juice of an apple. So, April, where would you like to begin on our cube journey?
So I think, like, the best place to start is with archetypes.
At the very beginning.
Because I think people, especially with the vintage cube, you open up a pack and there are so many cards that are amazing.
Yeah.
They're just, like, phenomenally good. And you have no idea where to go. It's very hard to draft linearly, I think, in the vintage cube. So I'm going to start with archetypes.
Okay. And
they're not even so much archetypes. Someone showed them as they're defined by like a single or a handful of like really powerful cards that you see them and then you draft them and then you have a deck, right? Like these cards are just so strong that they kind of take over everything else.
Well, Megan said we don't have a bottle opener.
We don't have a bottle opener.
Yep. Well, all right. Well, anyways. Well. Yeah. Let's talk about archetypes.
We planned so well
for
this.
So the main, like, I think the biggest archetype, and this is a very broad archetype, is the cheat big stuff into play archetype.
Right.
And there are a lot of ways to cheat something into play. I personally think the best way to cheat things into play, and actually is probably the best non, like, super busted power card in the cube is Sneak Attack. Sneak Attacks, Through the Breaches, Tinkers, and Channel.
Okay.
Like, those are the four cards, I think, that, like, they're just so good. They're, like, phenomenally good. They let you get so far ahead very, very early in the game.
Also, Show and Tell, right?
So, I'm going to talk a little bit about that later. I'll talk about that and Oath of Druids. They get their own little special segment here. Because I think they're both cards that I love, but there's some caveats, I think, with them.
Right. Megan and I oathed the other night, so we have a personal connection.
All right. Yeah. I think Oath of Druids is maybe my favorite cube card.
Oh, okay.
In the entire vintage cube. It's my personal favorite.
All right.
There's also Reanimator.
Yes.
It's kind of like a separate deck because there's so many cards that can go into Reanimator. But it's another good, like, cheating stuff into play. The only downside with it is that you don't get the Annihilator Eldrazi, which are just so good. Like, they just win the game. You know, reanimating a Grizzlebrand or like a Woodfall Primus is something. It's really good. It's very good, but it doesn't just, like, win the game like casting a Kozilek on turn two does, for example.
I have a question. So I like to draft Reanimator, but there are some cubes where it's better than others, right?
Mm-hmm.
So how is it fair in this one?
I think it is quite good.
Okay.
There's a lot of support for it. I mean, you have Reanimate, Animate Dead, Unburial Rites, Necromancy, Shallow Grave. You have a lot of options for reanimation. So I think it's a very consistent. It's of the cheat fat stuff into play, I think it's the most consistent deck. The other ones can be very consistent, but, like, they're much worse without, like, Splashing Black.
Sure.
I think for the consistency. So, like, if you can get, like, a Vampiric Tutor or, like, a Demonic Tutor or something along those lines, then Sneak Attack is amazing. You have two Sneak Attacks in your deck and you're just going to win. Whereas, like, Reanimator, you're going to have... You have four reanimation spells. You have, like, four discard spells, like, four fatties. Like, it's just a very consistent deck. It's just not quite as... doesn't have as much velocity, I think, as the other cheaty ones do. Other, like, good decks, I think, are Splinter Twin. I think that's a decent deck. I think people are afraid to draft it because it can often be inconsistent.
And they're like, oh, what if I don't get all the parts?
You want to get all the pieces. And I think... the trap a lot of people fall into, I think, is they see a Deceiver Exarch or Pestermite, and they think it's open. But you really want to be seeing Splinter Twin. Splinter Twin, Kiki Jiki's okay, but, like, you want to be seeing, like, a Splinter Twin, like, fifth pick, sixth pick, because there's going to be probably at least one or two things that combo with it that you're going to see otherwise.
Right.
But without Splinter Twin, like, it's... Kiki Jiki is fine, but it's a lot of mana. It's hard to cast. Whereas, like, you can just win the game with Splinter Twin on turn four.
So are you saying that Splinter Twin should be your first pick, like, that you makes you go into this deck?
It's definitely the card that you want to be seen.
Okay.
Like, if you see a lot of helper cards going really late, so like the Recruiters, Pestermite Deceiver, Zealous Conscripts, if you see those going really late, it could be open. But you might
don't know if Splinter Twin's gonna be opened.
Yeah, that's the problem. So like one of the problems, the downsides of this cube is that it is, I believe, 540 cards, which means you only see 2/3 of the cards every time you draft.
Mm.
So things that rely on a single card, like that, Storm is another deck like that as well. Like relies so much on Yawgmoth's Will, that sometimes you just get to the end of the draft and you don't have a deck.
Question. Mm-hmm. If I was doing this and I didn't get a Splinter Twin, could I still have a deck that could win? Or is it just going to be garbo.com/deck?
It can be okay. So, like, I feel like the Splinter Twin thing works really well, especially as part of, like, a control deck. One of the other good archetypes is, like, a control deck, but it's not, like, Legacy Cube where, you know, blue X control deck. So you can just say, like, I'm going to draft blue-white control. And it's great. It's always great, right? Or I'm going to draft blue-black control.
It's always great. Whatever.
But, like, the threats are too strong in Vintage Cube. I think, like, the control decks are just not quite good enough on their own. So, like, if you just think, I'm going to draft a control deck with a big finisher and I'm going to win the game, you're not going to win the game. You're going to tap out for your big finisher and you're going to lose. So I like control decks with a combo finish. So, like, Splinter Twin is great for that, right?
Yeah.
You just have some removal spells, you've got some counter spells, and then all of a sudden you kill them. Like, I think that's the best way to draft a control deck. Other decks that I find to be really quite good, the mono white deck can be good, but I think people draft it really badly.
Lay it down for us.
You look at things and you say, like, well, here is a what is the dude? It's like one white. It's a kitty cat. 3/4.
Brimaz.
Yeah, you see like a Brimaz, or you see like a Hero of Bladehold, which like Hero of Bladehold in the Legacy Cube is like great. It's like a 2-turn clock and they're just dead, right? If you see it in here and you think, this is the deck, I'm gonna take Hero of Bladehold, you're going to lose. The white deck and the red deck, but like they both need to be very disruptive. So you need things that tax their mana, like Thalia and Wingmare. You need things and Lien and Relic Warder that just like suck their mana away because everybody people have Signets and stuff like that.
I got a Mox Relic Warded.
Oh, that was brutal. That is a beating.
That was terrible.
I know. You only got like 2 turns of use out of it.
Yeah.
3 turns.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it really sucks. That's rough. It's really
that's
so bad.
That's super rough having a deck
no,
with a
wait,
Mox
I
in
was
it.
On the First I was on problems. The draw, so I only got one use.
One use?
One use out of my
why
Mox.
Why even cast a,
like, I know.
A,
why even
what a
bother?
Terrible card.
Why
it's like a land that got strip mined. Also, the like things like Strip Mine, Wasteland, Rishnan Port, very important for that deck. You really need the disruptive cards that are, you know, kind of low to the ground.
And this is something that
Revoker.
I wouldn't think. Like, is Armageddon?
Armageddon is still good, but only if you can back it up, like, with ways to kill their Signets. Like, you know, it's not as good as it is in the Legacy queue where you cast Armageddon and you won. In this one, you can cast Armageddon and they still might have 2 or 3 mana.
Yeah.
It's still, like, a good finisher.
Bother.
But it's, like, it is a much better finisher than Hero of Bladehold.
Sure.
Yeah. Same thing with the mono red deck, also quite good, but you really need to be low to the ground. You need, like, the red deck, I think, even more relies on Wasteland and Strip Mine and Rishnan Port. Cards that are, like, super important to the deck that you don't necessarily think are things like Manic Vandal. Like, it's one of the best cards in the deck because it keeps them from getting to their combo win finish faster. Manic Vandal, it's a 2 and a red, it's a 2/2, it blows up an artifact.
Oh, yeah.
That's all it does.
Yeah.
It looks mediocre, but it's one of the best creatures in the deck, right? If you play like 1-drop, 2-dub, and then you kill one of their artifacts, like there's a good chance they're going to lose. If you just do 1-drop, and then next turn you do 1-drop, 1-drop, and then you aren't killing them fast enough. like you really, really, really need to hurt their mana.
Because I just want to say that this isn't intuitive, you know, because if you're thinking, oh, I'm going to draft the red deck, I'm going to draft the white weenie deck. Like, you've been told your whole life that these are strategies that are linear. Like you said, like, you just need dudes and you've got to do one thing. Oh, don't focus on anything else, because then you're not doing the plan that you should be doing. But in this case, the cube is just so powerful that you have to, otherwise you're going
to
lose.
You have to disrupt your opponent's game plan. It's the only way to win. Also things like Eidolon. Like, Eidolon is very good. It disrupts their game plan. All of a sudden,
you want to cast a Signet?
Yeah, they're not casting things on curve necessarily, because they're worried about the damage that it's going to add up to.
Right.
So you need to be very disruptive. Another deck that I quite like, but you have to be like super aggressive about taking mana fixing, is like a red blue tempo deck. So this is things like, you know, you still have your Jackal Pups and your Goblin Guides, but you also have things like Spell Pierce, Remand, Daze. But in order to do that, like, you really need to have like Volcanic Island, Steam Vents, Fetches to get them, because you will just lose otherwise. And in fact, both of those decks are really bad in general for splashing. If you think you're going to splash, especially for creatures, if you splash for a creature, like if you think, you know, I'm going to play this mono red deck, but I'm going to splash for Thalia. Don't do it. just don't do it. Like, I mean, if you think, you know, I'm going to play a mono white deck, but I'm going to splash for, I don't even know, like some like green duder that like is a bit like a kitchen fink. I mean, not kitchen finks, but like a Pulchronos or something that's like, you can cast it. It's just not good enough. Like, you just need to never miss a land, draw a land because of color. You have to be quick, low to the ground, disruptive. And then like the mono color decks are rarely that way.
Whenever I see photos of decks that you've drafted, that you are like, look at this beautiful masterpiece.
I do post them on Twitter. Yeah.
Picasso himself cries in shame when he sees this. They're often like 3 to 4 colors.
And, you know, Picasso really loved drafting cube.
There's one little known fact about Picasso. That's what it is. I heard he cut his ear off after he drafted mono red and
you're thinking of somebody
Van
else.
Van Gogh. God damn it.
Yeah, Van Gogh didn't have a great impression of the holiday cube.
Boo. Yeah. So, like, what's the deal? You didn't tell us, I mean, about that deck.
So, I mean, all of those 4-color monstrosities are typically, what's happening there is I have a combo card, like Sneak Attack, or Tinker, or something like that. And then I just, like, follow it up with broad answers. So, like, things like Go for the Throat, things like Skin Render, which is slow, like things that like these like
Shriek Maw,
like these are like bad
answers.
They're bad cards. They're just not good. You need like really broad answers. So things that like Dreadbore, kills a creature or a planeswalker universal. It kills most every permanent on the board. Great card. Things like you know, Terminate is good. Like Vindicate type thing. Well, Vindicate's not good because black white isn't good. But like things that like kill a permanent are good.
Okay.
Things that you know, you're gonna lose a lot of cubes where you're like, I have this Go for the Throat, and then they do like turn 2 Metalworker, and you've lost the game. Like, you just can't kill it.
But I mean,
people killed my metal worker. Yeah. Too many goddamn answers.
I know. Combo card. So a combo card.
Okay.
Or some sort of combo in there. Plus like signets, broad answers. And then you usually have like planeswalkers. Like, they're so good against the people who try to do like fair decks that you could just. And I control decks. Like, you just sit there and you eke out advantage and then you just kill them instantly when they go to answer it.
When was the last time you played a fair deck in cube?
In vintage cube?
Yeah.
Never. They're really bad.
Let this be a lesson to you.
You mentioned you have some bad decks.
Yeah, like, so like
what
bad
are some
decks, like
bad decks.
I mentioned like red, white aggro that splash for creatures of other colors. Red green is like a terrible color combination. It's okay if you're splashing for Ancient Grudge, perennial underrated card, very good in cube. But like red green decks, which are quite good in the Legacy one, where you just have like some big creatures and you kill them with burn, super bad. The mono green deck is actually not that good. Sorry. No offense. It can be good.
That deck was insane.
Yes. Like sometimes like it's just so open that it's just great.
If literally no one else is drafting it and all of the cards that you need were opened, then it's great.
Then it's great. But like, you know, the green decks are often like not quite fast enough. Like they often kill on turn 5 or 6. So they're often like a little bit too slow, even with the mana dorks. Plus, like they're just not unique. Like, you know, these big green creatures that like normally in like Legacy Cube are great for the green deck, right? Like you grab a Woodfall Primus and you know that you're going to be the only one casting it. Maybe somebody will reanimate it, but like for the most part, you're the only one using it.
Yeah.
But like in a world where you have Sneak Attack or Oath of Druids or, you know, Show and Tell, Tinker, like Reanimator decks, people are taking these big fatties because they're so good. That makes the green deck worse.
Yeah.
And then like, you know, a Signet is just as good as a Mana Elf, but it's easier to cast. So
slam.
Yeah, it's just not that good.
All right. No,
take that, Armor Elf. You're not as good as a chunk of stone.
Get hoofed.
Get out of here.
Just got hoofed.
All right. So tell us about some underrated cards.
So cards I see like often go really late that I think are better than people think they are. Fiery Confluence. I see that card go so late.
Yeah.
At the top of the mono red deck, it's so good.
It says like, destroy 3 artifacts sometimes.
Yeah. Sometimes it does that. Sometimes it blows an artifact and it does 4. But like often like you stalled out, they finally stabilized and you just hit them for 6. They're just dead. Like 6 damage for 4 mana is really a good deal. Oath of Druids is very good card, as is Show and Tell. But here's the thing that's not good in the leagues. The really bad cards in the leagues specifically, because in the leagues, and this has happened to me, right? I'm like, boom, Show and Tell. And I drop Emrakul and I'm like, I've won this game. And they also drop Emrakul and you've lost the game. Because like everybody else, like in a normal cube where you've taken Oath and then you're just like taking every huge like Eldrazi and fatty. And you know that when you drop Oath or you drop Show and Tell or you drop Eureka, that you're not going to sit across from like these huge fatties because you took them. In the leagues, that's not the case. Other people are wanting to cast Eldrazi and they're not nearly as good. In the 8/4s in the Swiss, they're actually still really good. I think like Oath of Druids is one of the better cards. But in league, you have to be a lot more careful with it.
That's so interesting. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah. Let's see. Also, it's the recruiters, Imperial Recruiter, and the new white one, Recruiter of the Guard or something like that.
Yeah.
One gets a creature with power 2 or less. The other gets a creature with toughness 2 or less. Both of them are pretty good, actually. There's so many like little disruptive creatures out there. You got your Thalias, your artifact blowing up Duders, you've got Glenelendra. You've got a lot of like really good disruptive.
I wish Duder was a creature too.
Duder. Duder. They're actually surprisingly good. And of course, they're like really good in the Splinter Twin decks where you can get Kiki Jiki.
Yeah.
And also both of the pieces, the blue dudes. The black Thoughtseize creatures. Oh, God.
Brain Maggot.
Brain Maggot is one of them. Yeah. There's a couple of them.
There's a few of them. I'm trying to remember.
People look at them and they think, well, this is a Thoughtseize, but they can get their card back.
Mesmeric Fiend.
Mesmeric Fiend, which is the better one. Mesmeric Fiend is a lot better. Because if they like try to bolt it in response to the trigger going on the stack, they just get to exile a card forever. That's not the case with Brain Maggot. But they just say Thoughtseize most of the time. And Thoughtseize is a great card because it puts them off their plan. And like a lot of these combo decks don't have removal for it. So it's just a Thoughtseize with a body. I think overall these cards are better than like Duress or Inquisition, which miss a lot of the time.
Yeah.
They're very conditional. Nahiri, I like Nahiri a lot. She's great in the Sneak Attack deck as well.
She is a sneak attack.
She's not really sneak. You really see it coming.
You really do.
You really get a couple of turns to just look down the
barrel.
It's
just an attack.
Yeah.
It's just an attack with her best friend, Emmy. But like, it's so good. It answers a lot of things. A lot of the problematic enchantments, artifacts that are tapped for mana. Really, really good. I don't know why it's so good. It's just always been good for me. Ophiomancer It just looks like a dumb dude.
The one that makes a little snake?
Yeah, it makes little death touch snakes again and again and again.
Yeah, and it says if you have no snake, you get a new snake.
Yeah, you get a new snake, but you get a snake right away.
I want a snake right away.
And like against these like red decks and the white decks, they just like stop doing stuff. They're like, I'm going to throw away my dude and I'm going to get literally nothing out of it. Like nothing, because they're just going to lose a dude to the snake and then you get a new snake. It's like snakes for days.
It's a great deal.
I know.
Lose a snake, get a snake.
I think a takeaway I'm hearing here is there's lots of really potent, huge, amazing threats in this cube. Well, not a lot, but I mean, like, they're very powerful.
Yes.
So there are a lot of kind of simple ways that don't look as good as they actually are.
The big flashy ways.
Yeah.
But they're going to just completely mess with that plan.
I think so, yeah. I mean, the decks in Vintage Cube are so powerful, but they're often very fragile, right? Like, you might think, I'm going to go to Sneak Attack, right? I mean, I have this Signet or two in my hand, and you just don't get the mana to get there. Or to Karn, or to something, or Ugin, or one of the Eldrazi, right?
Yeah.
Or they open up a hand that's like Channel and Emrakul, and then you Thoughtseize it. Like, and then all of a sudden, they just have a dead card, right? Like, these, like, broad, disruptive spells are very, very good.
Cool.
Cool.
Um, a lot of them are there's also like a lot of trap cards that I wish they would take out, and like just bad cards that I wish they would take out.
Hit us.
Storm, I think, is a deck that is just not good.
Like, yeah,
even if you're amazing at Storm, like if you like watch LSV draft Vintage Cube and Storm, amazing. Storm is like a deck that is super fun. Like if you draft Storm, you are gonna get your money's worth in fun.
I had drafted it the other day. I lost a lot.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Even when you're good, you lose a lot. But it's so fun. It's
it was great.
It's so much fun.
It was a great time.
But, like, because it's 540, like, often you don't get the pieces that you need. And even when you do have all the pieces, sometimes you just get Spell Pierce and you lose the game.
Oh, brutal.
And so don't draft Storm thinking, I'm going to win this thing. Think, I'm going to draft Storm and I'm going to have a lot of fun tonight.
Okay. Yeah.
Any mid-range green card? Trap.
Blucranos. I agree.
Blucranos, Thragtusk, Kitchen Finks. They're fine cyborg cards. Super bad to main deck. Don't do it. Tezzeret, Ancient of Bolas. Just not good. It's just way too slow. Way too slow. Even though you think all these artifacts, it's going to be great.
Yeah.
Not good.
No.
Huh.
All right.
Things like Sphinx's Revelation. Again, just too slow. Easy to like...
How does that make you feel, Megan?
Eat a spell, pierce, or a counter spell.
Shh, everybody. Shh.
And then every one of the stacks cards are just terrible. They're just not good. Braids, Smokestack.
Don't mess with other people's permanents.
Yeah, they're just not good enough. People like vomit, you know, Cygnus onto the board, and then they still cast their spell, and they've done nothing. And they're just in general very, very slow. So all of those, I think, are trap cards. There are some cards that are just super bad, and I'm not even sure why they're in the cube anymore. Things like Bitter Blossom and Awakening Zone, oh my gosh, they're so slow. Oh my gosh. Like, Awakening Zone is a signet that you have to wait until turn 3 to cast, and you don't even get anything but a colorless mana until turn 4. They're just really bad. Things like, I think I said Bitter Blossom.
Yeah, you did.
Most of the swords are pretty bad. Fire and Ice is okay-ish. So is the green black one, Feast and Famine. It's okay, but they're both, all of them, the rest of them, they're like, they're just not, they're so slow. They're 3 mana to cast, 2 mana to equip. You've just wasted 2 turns to do nothing. Dual Caster Mage, Magus of the Moon, Necropotence, I think, is a card that people think looks really good because you just get to draw a bunch of cards. But it's so much worse than Yawgmoth's Bargain. It's also like really hard to cast. You have to be like really heavy black, which is by far the worst to be in. You want to be in black to like steal the removal and steal the tutors. You don't want to be in black as a color in general. Like you, I mean, you want to be in black because Demonic Tutor and Vampiric Tutor are so good in this cube.
Yeah.
But you don't want to be black thinking I'm going to cast like a Desecration Demon,
right?
Or Vampire Nighthawk and win the game. Like, it's not going to happen.
Get out of here.
Oh man, Vampire Nighthawk, so bad. Delver of Secrets, why is it in the cube? It's super bad.
It's a trap card.
It's a trap card.
Trap card.
Trap card.
And not like actually a trap card, because those are cards.
No, because those are cards. But it's not that kind of trap.
No, it's just a bad card. They should be gone, I think.
Yep. So let's go through some of your pack one, pick ones, because sometimes I crack a pack and cube and I'm just like,
what?
What?
Yep.
Although I have to say, I've opened a lot of Black Lotuses. Okay, this time
Megan.
Around,
oh my God, you know. I hate you so much. I think I've gotten zero. I think maybe one Black Lotus this whole time.
I've literally opened like four.
What?
I don't know what's going on.
I keep getting like Time Walk, like which is fine, and Recall, which is, you know, it's an alright card.
Yeah.
And Sol Ring, but I never get Black Lotus.
Yeah, I've opened Sol Ring twice.
Nice. Megan.
So, speaking of Sol Ring. I think if you see that pack one, pick one, it's the best card in the whole cube. Number one card. And I'm going to get a lot of hate mail for this whole list, by the way. But I'm willing to take
That's
it
fine.
Because I am correct in my ordering
hate
here.
Hate mail is our modus operandi.
So Sol Ring, Ancestor Recall is number two.
Draw three.
Number three, Black Lotus. Number four, any of the moxes that are not green or white.
What? So, why do you care?
Green and white moxes can suck it?
Yeah, they can suck
it. Wow.
They're way down on the list.
But why?
They're fine. So, like, the black moxes get you, like, a turn one demonic tutor, you know? Or, like, you get to, like, do something and then also cast, like, vampiric tutor. The red one, like, I think red is right up there with blue as far as the best color in the cube.
Yeah.
So it's just great. You get to cast sneak attack or through the breach a turn early. And then the blue one is, I mean, it's the blue one. Like,
yeah,
it's just,
you don't need to say anything
else.
You
don't even need to justify myself. Then I think Time Walk.
Yeah.
I think then I would say like Mana Crypt. And then I think the other moxes.
Okay.
All right.
The green one is the worst.
All right. So. We Time Walked three. How many turns did we take in a row?
We took three turns. We took three turns. And not only that, we saw like 16 cards because what did we do? We time twisted and then we cast and then we time walked.
Yes. And then we
got seven new cards and then we drew another. Then we drew time walk again in that hand.
Yes. This was the other
and
day.
And then we time walked again.
It's pretty sweet. And then we lost.
Yep. And then we lost.
Well, but you have the moral victory. Like
true.
That is the moral victory.
It was great. We had
three turns in a row. What
I was trying to explain this to my spouse today, the difference between like an actual victory and a moral victory.
Yeah.
Something like Magic players, I think, understand really well.
Oh yeah, we do. We do. Yeah. Very so well. You, being the cube master that you are, have some ideas on how the vintage cube potentially could be better. What do you think?
Yeah, I think there's a few changes that would be easy to do, I think, for Wizards for the most part and would make a big difference. Killing some of like the really dead cards, Lynvala, Stax cards, you know, those all could go, opening up some more space for stuff. But which is obvious, but I think the most important thing they need to do is they need to choose different counterspell art.
Yeah,
the
counterspell art is so bad. Worst one.
It's not. It's
the worst.
I don't know
one.
If it's the worst one, but it's certainly like in the bottom
it's
three.
Very
it's
which
really
one is
bad.
In there?
It's like the gentleman doing the
the
like,
two finger dude.
No,
that one's great.
That one's great.
That one's
it's
great.
The one where he's like, no, he's like, whatever.
Yeah, it's really bad.
Okay,
it's up there with like the bikini one.
Yeah,
and like
a bikini one.
Yeah, it's like Tempest. I think the Tempest counterspell. And then there's like the one where there's like somebody's like dropping something. If you're just like mouse over counterspell, you can see what's going on there. There's a lot of arts for counterspell and they chose like one of the worst. It's really depressing. The Jace one was good. Like the Jace with the red and black or red and blue is good.
That one's
pretty good.
That one's
okay.
Good.
The guy hula hooping is okay.
Yeah, the guy who
that's what that's
is
what
fine.
He's doing there.
Yes, he is. That's correct.
Where do I look at the other versions on this? I can't remember. It's somewhere on this site.
Right, we'll find it later. I'll show you
anyway,
which one they have.
Anyway,
it's bad.
Yeah.
The counterspell art is bad, and Wizards should feel bad. All they have to do is like just change the art. They could even do it live right now. I want to go home and cube and see the correct counterspell, or as soon as this airs. They need to find a way to give Mono Black an identity. I think this is a card problem that all cubes kind of struggle with, but they really need to figure it out.
Is it this guy?
I think that is actually the art.
Yeah
that's the art.
That's bad.
It's like,
that's what I'm saying. He was doing a thing with his arms. How is I not being clear?
Yeah.
He's like.
That's not at all a thing with the fingers, which is like classic
I didn't say,
and
I
beautiful.
Didn't say
no,
fingers,
I know you
yeah.
didn't. I know, but.
I said arms where he's like, zombie.
Yeah, he kind of looks like a velociraptor.
Yeah.
But way less threatening. And I think like they need to like maybe print some more cards. Like I think the Storm deck could really use another win condition. It would be fine. I think
it doesn't exist, but it needs to be made is what you're telling me.
Listen, I know that this is controversial. When anybody says there need to be more Storm cards, I'm sure that like, you know,
the siren goes off.
Mark Rosewater's heart just starts palpating. Well, like, I think there are cards that you could print that would just be worse than, like, the existing win conditions that, like, Legacy Storm uses. Like in the Commander thing. But could still be good. Even, like, a Brain Freeze that costs 3, right? Would be just fine.
Yeah.
And because, like, just sometimes you don't get the win conditions. And they really need to figure out a way to make another Yawgmoth Well.
All right.
And like,
you said that listen, like you were ready listen, to get bored.
I
know
it's so bad. Like, Yawgmoth's Well, I think, is could very easily be argued as the best card in all of Magic, like, maybe better than Sol Ring. It's just so good. I think they could maybe print another one in Commander of some kind, some variant that makes. Because, like, the Storm deck in Vintage Cube is just not good without Yawgmoth's Well. Like, there's the Yawgmoth's creature dude, Magus of the Well, is so slow. It takes 6 mana, 2 turns. They need something to make it good. And then I think, like, it needs, like, a new Tezzeret. Like, I think they need a new Tezzeret.
What about the one they just printed?
They just printed one?
Yes, today.
Oh, my God. I'm so uninformed.
Maybe
it is good.
I'll find it for you.
I was thinking, like,
+1, you get a Lotus Petal token, essentially.
Okay.
-2, target creature gets +X/-X, where X is the number of artifacts you control. -7, at the beginning of combat, an artifact you control becomes a 5/5.
Yes.
Yeah, I think that's actually fine then.
2 blue back.
Yeah, I think that would just be a shoe and just, like, just straight up replace loyalty. Agent of Bolas.
Look at you wished for it.
Wow.
And
I made it happen. I made it happen. And last but not least.
Okay.
I think what they should do is they should put in there's a card on Modo and it's only on Modo. Most people don't even know it exists.
What?
It's called Gleemox.
Okay.
I don't know. Have either of you heard of Gleemox?
No. People have been talking about it.
Yeah, I think it popped up accidentally recently.
It's a Mox that taps for any color.
What?
It looks like a little brain.
Yeah, it says just tap, add 1 mana of any color to your mana pool.
This card is banned.
Which I think is the best actual rules text I've ever seen on a card.
Yeah.
But, like, I like this because it's not quite as good as Sol Ring. I don't think it's as good as Sol Ring, but I think it's close. It gives just one more chance for people to open a power. Like, I think when somebody's, like, going on and they get to draft just one Vintage Cube, like, they're just going to try it out, this is the first time, I want them to open up something that's super busted, like Time Walk or a Mox or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, so having just one more.
Why does this card exist?
I believe they gifted it to everybody on Modo. Like, was it for the release of Gleemax? Or, like, some, like, thing?
We have an expert in the
I think it was,
corner.
Like, some project that didn't happen. But they gave it to everybody, and now it's out there. It should be in Cube. It's like a Modo only card. It's like a Vintage Cube card, and, like, no other Vintage Cubes in the world have it because it doesn't exist. So
cool. All right.
Yeah. Nice.
And it's the hottest new trend: a brain with jewels. Bejeweling your brain. Mm-hmm. It's the hot new thing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, April, I feel like so much more confident about drafting Vintage Cube.
For laying all that sweet cube knowledge on us.
You're very welcome. I'm looking forward to having my win percentage go down because now everybody knows all my sweet tricks.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah.
It's for the greater good, though.
Yeah.
You need a new challenge. Megan, I do believe we have another holiday tune on the tips of our tongues.
Of course we do.
It's called I'll Be Blue. At the pre-release.
I'll be blue at the pre-release. You can plan on that. Please have counters and malfunctions and a color to pair it with. The pre-release will find me sorting through my cards. I will favor the blue ones, even if my red is better. I'll be blue at the pre-release. You can count on that. Please have ways to deal with creatures and a way to
close the game. The pre-release will find me counting playables. I will favor the blue spells, even if the green is better.
I think that's true for you, Megan.
I think it really is.
We're joined now by art expert Mike Linneman. Welcome to the show, Mike.
Hello.
I'm going to make my own champagne by putting some vodka into a glass.
And then adding our classy, our sparkling apple juice. Cranberry. Maria, I think you misunderstand the entire concept of champagne.
That's how they make real champagne.
This is make your own, Megan.
That's not sparkling white wine. That's real what champagne they do. Just has vodka.
Yep. That's what they do in France.
They just add vodka to it.
They crack bottles of carbonated juice and they...
You're telling me you've never been to a holiday party where you had to make your own champagne out of vodka from a plastic bottle and sparkling juice.
I just didn't call it champagne. I was honest about my
sparkling
drinking.
Sparkling holiday party juice.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how bad of a hangover would this give you?
Like a full 10.
Our holiday party is in full swing.
Right. Yeah.
Mike, you've joined us on the show before to talk magic art, and you are, I think, you know more about magic art than almost anybody in the entire universe.
You have studied it. You have written scholarly texts about it.
Yep.
I write about it often. Yeah. I suppose so. I guess the only thing left to do is actually put on an art show for people. Which is in development, surprisingly enough.
Fabulous.
We're working on it for GP Vegas.
Wonderful.
That'll be so cool.
And then we're working on a tour, actually, for it, too, because obviously people live outside of 3 or 4 states that have major GPs. But that's coming. People will be able to see that. Hopefully, fairly soon, we'll make some announcements. But that's not why I'm here today.
No. You're here today for a very kind of festive art topic.
Okay.
Easter eggs in magic art.
It's a different
art.
Holiday.
Yeah, I know it is, but you know.
Christmas presents in magic art.
There we go. That's what it is.
8 days of things to find. Easter eggs. It's been around for a really, really long time.
Yeah. Ever since the first chicken, really.
Literally, first chicken in the game. That's funny. You guys, there actually is a thing. You know that, right?
No.
Oh my god! Oh my god! Oh my god! No, that's one of them. Actually, is the unglued chicken egg refers to the Rook egg card.
There's a card called Rook egg.
Yeah, it's in Arabian Nights. You know, it's an 03. You kill it, and then you get like a dragon of sorts.
Oh yeah.
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 So how do you spell glued, Rook?
It's R U K H.
R U K H.
Okay. Oh, there it is. Rook egg. Yeah.
So that's it was in Arabian Nights as the OG. And they played on it as an Easter egg in Unglued. That's kind of what the Unglued sets are, is this nod and wink. Are you paying attention? Same thing that happened in Time Spiral, that if you didn't play, it's like, this looks important, but I don't understand why. But if you do, you're like, oh my God, they're hiding stuff. This is so cool. and people geek the crap out about it. You can see it most recently. There was the card Worldbreaker.
Yes. Yeah. Let's bring that art up.
So Worldbreaker, I remember people had a big, big thread on this. And there's a lot of the Vorthos tags on Twitter. And then even Gabby, about a month and a half later, said, hey, do you guys see what's in the background? And I'm like, oh, we love you, Gabby.
Yeah.
In the background of Worldbreaker, it is the Hollowed Fountain.
Yeah,
there it is.
Yeah, you can see it right in there. And that's kind of a nod of this. It gives it place. It gives it more understanding. It can give you a ability to get deeper in a story without needing to read one of Allison's writings or someone else's. And sometimes they're written into art descriptions, and sometimes people just
throw it in there.
Yeah, just put it in there.
So one of the early ones that, you know, people need to see is Dwarven Shrine.
Okay.
Dwarven Shrine was one of the first examples of, you know, Matt Cavada, who's now the head of CAPS, which is the creative and publishing side. You know, the booster boxes, what color they are.
Yeah.
That's what
how
he does.
They flip up, that's what he does.
All right.
That's all he does. So, like, what goes on the booster pack wrapper, all that stuff. He made this, and if you look at it, you're like, okay, it's just a bunch of items. But
it looks like a bunch of stuff on little pedestals.
Look at it closer. Look at the circle that's red. Think about the other red three drop that was in the dark.
You assume that I played during the dark, yeah, which is untrue.
That's a ball dark. Lightning.
Oh!
The hammer that's hanging there is a hammer of Bogarden, which was a big deal back in the day as a removal spell. So he kind of just slipped those in there.
Very cool.
Just shifty shifty.
That's awesome.
And it was like, okay, that's cool. You can do that. And people won't be like, ah, that's too much kitsch in it. And then they kept doing it in like in deeper things with all the Weatherlight cards. If you saw the card Treasure Trove, it literally has pieces of the Weatherlight in there.
Is this the right art? No, which art do I need to do? Exodus.
I always got to look at the original gangster for it. And in there it has Karn, who's part of the Weatherlight, which they needed all these Weatherlight pieces to blow up and kill Yawgmoth. And you'll see, you know, the Power Stone in there. And you'll see the other, Thran Tome is right in the front. That's the book. And this got continued and copied in the future with Legacy Weapon, which Therese Nielsen said, what if we did everything?
Oh, there
all
is
the
Karn,
pieces
yep.
that, of yeah. the Legacy Weapon that were needed to explode to go off. You know, the Heart of Ramos, Urza's head, which has the Might Stone and the Weak Stone, and it's his eyes.
Whoa. Like Urza's head?
Yeah, it's his head.
Poor Urza.
Like, he died, and they literally had needed
his head.
They
had his head? Yeah.
And that's what blew up and killed the Yawgmoth at the end.
That's how you know your friends really care about you, is after you're dead, they're like, we need his head.
Oh, we need your head.
Just kept talking the whole time. So they added all these aspects to say, okay, well, right away it's like, okay, you can blow up a permanent, but in the storyline, this are all of the aspects that were come together. And since this was a reprinted card from the original, they said, how can we give a little fan service to people that know what this is and show that through? Very recently, I wrote a big article on Zach Stella doing this with Expropriate. And he and a couple of these new artists, Victor Adame Menguez, a lot of the Canadian guys of all things, has started adding pieces in there that don't necessarily you'd expect. That they would reference each other. So in Exappropriate, above Leovold, who's the guy standing there, that's the elf, that Magali painted, above, over his left shoulder, there's a mural on the wall. It's true name Nemesis.
What? Really?
Yeah, you gotta look super, super close. You can actually look in there and you can find Muzio's hat, of all things, because that dealt with the first conspiracy. You could probably put a link to the article if you'd like. All of these pieces he added in.
Oh, is this it down in the corner?
Mm-hmm. So you could see all of these things he added in, and some of them, you know, he added a little extra himself. And they're trying to find artists, do this in all sorts of TCGs to say, how can I give fan service to the art director to say thank you? How can I give it as a fan myself? What would I love to see? Jesper Ising, we didn't pull this one up, did Goblin Charbelcher. And what is he digging up? There's a Stormcrow in the air. There's a piece of dynamite with him. There's originally a Mox a Sapphire on his helmet that got scrubbed out. All of those things are these really, really playful ways that artists can integrate their knowledge of the game to give us a better looks into it. And as you can see, the Charbelcher is literally behind him. It's the pot.
Sure.
Yeah, it's the pot into the Eternal Masters thing. But all of the stuff in the air, you know, Stormcrow, Black Lotus.
Oh, yeah, it is a Black Lotus right there.
If you actually look at under his right foot, there's a the bomb. What's the bomb?
Oh, Ratchet Bomb.
Ratchet Bomb.
Oh.
And Magic Man Sam just had a big video on Jesper Ising, which is phenomenal. You guys should totally check it out. And he mentions this, and this is just something more established artists can slip into the game for us to give this, hey, I play two on the side, and here's a sideboard card that you use with this reprinted card.
Oh, that's cute.
And sometimes art directors will add them, but often it's the artist, like Steve Argyle, that will say, hey, you're a commander player, right? I'm making a commander. I'm getting Demia. You know, it was kind of a cool thing back then. Making new commanders. Colors haven't been done before. And he added pieces from all sorts of different games.
Wow, that is an intricate piece.
There's a Sith holocron in there. He has images from Legends of the Five Rings. He has images in from Warhammer of all of these different items because she's this collector of sorts. And no one told him this. He didn't tell anyone until the card was printed. And players started to say, wait, what's that stuff back there?
Yeah.
So I definitely encourage people whenever they see new works. When you just see the art, because they always show the art first, like we're seeing right now with either Revolt, to really look at maybe about an inch off the middle to see what did they hide in the crowd? Who's got a mustache that looks like somebody you know? Is there something referred to, some sort of joke that we always talk about? Is there a rhino in the background that's like
being murdered,
being killed, or something of the sort? Right?
That's fine.
And those sort of, they will be in there. You just have to really check them out before they hit card size, because at card size you can't always see it. You have to see it when it's just the artwork, which is really right now. So I absolutely encourage people to look into those things. I love seeing Easter eggs.
Easter eggs, when I was a child, I had this book called The 11th Hour, which was a fantastically illustrated book, which was a poem the whole way through. And by the end, you realize that there had been a mystery that had happened. And the only way to solve it would to go through and look through all of the art and crack the hidden clues that were hidden in the art throughout the book.
Yeah.
And it turned out to be extremely difficult. No child could ever figure that out. Nonetheless, it fascinated me, you know, and I wanted to look through and find everything. And this reminds me so much of it. So it's just a really cool thing.
It's super exciting to see that once you find them more recently, you're like, oh, Worldbreaker, that's really, really cool. What other ones? Like, if you Google Easter eggs, Magic the Gathering, like, I think I've written a couple articles on some of these. But then you'll start going way back. Like way back into cards. And they're like, oh yeah, you know about Goblin Grenade, right? And you're like, yeah, it was printed like 3 years ago. They're like, no. The Fallen Empires one, where Ron Spencer made the dude with the backpack, bomb, whatever. If you look at his spear, it says the name Mike.
Is that your name?
That is also my name, but I mean, if you look at the spike, it literally says
Mike out of the spikes.
Mike.
Do you see it?
Mike. I see it.
So you start to look at more and more, and these things have been around forever.
Why does it say Mike?
Because he was talking about another artist. Or he's like, you know, sometimes they might even have a bet with each other. They're like, hey.
Did that artist later die?
From a spike impalement?
From a spike?
He got killed at a Pro Tour early on. Pro Tour 3. And some of those early artists, like, you know, Ron Spencer's been around forever. Mark Tadine's been around forever. Yeah. If you look at a lot of Mark Tadine's work, he references himself with Eldrazi stuff, like old. Like, check out that old school Grip of Chaos card. That piece has, you know, weird kind of spirally things in the middle. That's what it is. No. If you look at the upper left and the upper right, it has Tetravis in the top right, which is an old antiquities card that he made. And he wanted to bring it back into the game.
Yeah.
And just kind of, you know, snuck it in there. It's kind of like adding an Ornithopter to like a random artifact set where you're like, oh yeah, there's an Ornithopter in the background because there's Ornithopters everywhere.
Yep.
Right?
Always Ornithopters.
Always.
It's like the Randy Post sort of thing where he makes the playmats with all the different pieces of the deck. You know, there was like the infect guy. We're going to start seeing more of those with promos or reprinted cards in like Eternal Masters, where someone will say, hey, I know this card works with this card. How can I sneak that in there? Because they know that people will buy prints of it. People will buy the playmat of it because they play the deck with it. And it actually incentivizes artists monetarily to actually add these things and try to slip it by the censors that is an art director that says, wait, you can't add a plague stinger to that. They're not on Mirrodin. Like, you can't do that. There's no infect on Ravnica. Stop it. You know? So there's going to be more of those. It's going to take an artist that's been around long enough that they don't feel like they're going to get fired right away.
Yeah.
So they've done six artworks and they're like, I'm going to try something crazy. And they're like, you're done now.
That's so neat. And I know, this is not really an Easter egg, but like Therese Nielsen uses the same model for a lot of her work. And it's like, oh, look, in real life, you can meet my model at events or whatever.
Totally. I mean, if you ever meet Rebecca Gay, same sort of thing. She paints herself.
Oh, really?
a lot. Every one of her
Noah Bradley.
Noah Bradley. Yep, exactly. It's the same sort of thing where you're like, the bald guy in the back, Noah, I think that's still you, man. And it totally is. It's just cool to see some of those, you know, creation beyond the normal. Oh, yeah, this represents this mechanic. It's like, well, I'm trying to tell you something as well from an artist's side that Reddit usually picks up on pretty quick within the first couple days of an art getting spoiled. And if they don't, you know, usually an art review by a few known associates might talk about some of the other pieces involved.
I want your opinion on the, speaking of holiday episode, Thopter Pie Network.
Thopter Pie Network is fantastic.
It's so good.
It's fantastic. I'm super excited about it for one main reason, and that Victor is painting digitally like you would traditionally.
So he has a brush?
Well, he's using skills you use in traditional paint digitally. So, for example, if you're showing motion digitally, what do you do?
I put a blur on it.
Sure.
Photoshop.
Most people put a blur. Boom. Most people put a blur or a couple specs to show a blur. Traditional paint, you can't do that. How do you paint blurry?
You use your finger and you smear it.
You smear the paint, right? Of some variety, you move paint around.
I got the question right.
Yeah, you did. You did. I mean, a couple artists actually push it so they get a shadow, and that's how they build shadows. Omar ran all the way through Shadowmore. He just made thicker paint to make shadows. But so what he did in this, in all of the rotors in Thopter Pie Network, he painted it digitally with like one brush stroke. So it looks like it's a painted piece and you can't tell the difference. And that's really, really rare. Yeah. That doesn't happen very often. I mean, very, very few digital people have that traditional base background because it's expensive. You know, paint is, you get to carry it around with you. The skill set is totally different. It doesn't really work in concept or video games really well. But he's moving over to that, which is really, really cool. And I like the pies. I mean, they're great.
Yeah. Who doesn't like a pie?
No, everybody loves pies.
I mean, the woman in the window is just like, I'm going to kill this pie. And I love it.
I'm going to murder that pie.
I'm going to kill that pie. That playfulness is a great way to add that in without going full unset.
Yeah.
Which I'm one of the few proponents that says death to the unsets. I never want them back.
Whoa.
Wow.
Ever.
Yeah. Yeah.
I will go on the record. I never want them to return. Because conspiracy, I think, can do the same feeling better.
Interesting.
All right. Noted. All right. I've never played with one, so I don't,
Strong words.
I just want more squirrel cards, and those seem to happen in unset, so I'm kind of biased.
We need a squirrel plane. How about that?
Whoa. Yeah, we do.
Squirrel plane, yeah.
Squirrels on a plane.
Squirrels on a plane. I only have one last thing to have for you,
go ahead.
That is... Okay. Victor did a marketing art. So, you know, there's card art?
Yes.
For cards. And then there's marketing art that's used for promotion of products and various other stuff. There's 1,000 ones of Jace, your boy.
There's a million ones of Jace.
Clearly.
Being emo.
He has so many photos of himself.
Well, okay, if Planeswalkers were taking selfies, Jace is number one selfies.
Jace is the most.
It's not even a contest. Yeah.
He really would. Liliana's close.
We'd have so many. Liliana would have a lot of selfies.
She'd be like very...
Right, like zombie move to the left, take the next one, right?
Yep.
And actually, it's the Liliana art that I want to talk about. With her and the Raven Man, it was an old storyline article explaining one of those things. What Victor did in this image was he put a reference to the location of where they were. So if you look at this picture normally, and I'm sure we'll have some.
You just have to Google Liliana Raven.
Liliana Raven Man. It's him coming through the window and her sitting there, which you don't actually know if he's real or not. That still hasn't been explained, if it's a figment of her imagination.
Yeah, right.
But to her, over her left shoulder, and it's cropped in and everywhere else other than Victor's website, there is a stone face, like a quarter of a stone face.
Mm-hmm.
And that stone face, if you look closely, is the eye of Yawgmoth, the crying face. This becomes this iconographic element into this piece, because it says, okay, by the crying face, it must mean it's Dominaria, which means the home plane, the normal place where we always are. It means that, was he trying to connect that she has some greater scheme in the long run? Mm-hmm. Did he slip that in? Did an art director ask him to slip that in and then crop in intentionally? Like, that's super next level sort of storytelling.
This is some conspiracy theory
stuff. It really is. It's super into it. But they have that ability to do that. And they won't comment on it at all. Because yeah. I talk to art directors fairly often about art-related things, and they're like, I don't know what you're talking about. And I'm like, okay, biscuits.
Don't you.
But hopefully with the 25th anniversary next year, we will see quite a bit more referencing happening with, you know, 25 years. We hopefully go back to the home plane and see all sorts of neat stuff. And hopefully people will celebrate that instead of saying, oh, that's cheesy and lazy.
No, I think it's really cool.
Well, I hope
they'll
so.
Celebrate.
Thank you for giving us some insight into the Easter eggs and magic art. And now people go out on your own and try and find your own Easter eggs.
Yeah.
And read some of your articles, no doubt.
Yeah. Invariably, looking at Easter eggs, I have a few of them out there. You'll find them.
So how can people find more of your stuff online?
You can just search up usually magic art and then Mike, and most of those things show up. But I'm on at Vorthos Mike pretty easily. You find me on Twitter. And the best part is, which I left here, I probably have about a dozen more examples of these sort of things I just kept in my back pocket. But I knew we're unlimited amount of time, and I know I've been talking a lot about this currently. So if anybody pings me online, I'll definitely share a bunch more.
You can go find more Easter eggs.
Thanks, Mike, and let me cheers you with my real champagne.
Real champagne. Cheers. And now, another carol for you.
Yes. All I want for Christmas is a two-for-one. This one's dedicated to Marshall Suckle.
All I want for Christmas is a two-for-one, a two-for-one, a two-for-one. Gee, if I only had a two-for-one, then I could date to this GP. It seems so long since I could say I killed two dudes with just one card. Gosh, oh gee, how happy I'd be if I could fill up your graveyard. All I want for Christmas is a two-for-one, a two-for-one, a two-for-one. Gee, if I only had a two-for-one, then I could date two at this GP.
Sung exactly like the creepy little girl that we watched sing the original. Exactly.
Now it's time for a special holiday message from our favorite dragon, Nicol Bolas.
Hello, it is your old friend, Nicol Bolas, wishing Magic the Gathering a happy holiday season and all good things. As for me, my holidays are not so good. Well, I was dating a nice lady, but turned out she was a evil beast with a lot of tusks. And normally, Nicol Bolas can look past things, for Nicol Bolas has headache and crazy horns as well. But when Nicol Bolas and the Beast Lady were being intimate, the crazy tusk stabbed Nicol Bolas in headache, and I was very worried that it would break. So we had to go our separate ways, and now I am alone for the holidays. So I am going back to Monket, and maybe I will meet some new people, or maybe I will just eat a bunch of beetles and cry. Okay, happy holidays. Nicol Bolas out.
We three cards of standard are the best cards of standard far. Copter, Marvel, Spell, Queller, R&D, raise the bar. Oh, cards of wonder, cards of light, standard warping with their might. Without cheating, they're defeating Grand Prix tourneys left and right. I tried so hard to brew a new deck. Turns out I just got really wrecked.
Copter, Marvel, Spell, Queller, come on, guys, what the heck? Oh, cards of wonder, cards of light, standard warping with their might. Without cheating, they're defeating Grand Prix tourneys left and right.
Well, thank you, everybody. That's our holiday special for you. We hope you are feeling jolly in all of your jolly parts after listening
to this. Yep.
Big thanks again, of course, to Judge April and Vorthos Mike, and of course, yes, Nicole Bolas for stopping by.
And thank all of you once again, everyone who listens to the show, anyone who is able to support on Patreon, and of course, always to our sponsors, Card Kingdom.
Yeah, we've got one more episode before the end of 2016, and we'll be looking back probably on what we've accomplished
this
year.
Let's kick this year out the fucking door.
Let's dump water on this garbage pot garbage fire of a 2016.
And put it out in the alley.
So until next time, happy holidays, and may every present you open be a pop
booster.